How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Any organization whose first priority is evangelization should never take a penny from the government.
The etiquette of contemporary postmodern America is that all persons should just stand beside one another and say, we're together in spite of all of our differences. But what that really implies is a relativity of truth.
The reason some Lutheran pastors and congregations no longer practice closed communion is because they simply are no longer willing to insist on the doctrine of the Lord's Supper in the Lutheran confessions.
Confessional Lutheran deadheads love Issues Etc.
Everybody's looking for it, aren't they? And I think it was a recent survey of attendees of megachurches say that they come out of church and they have experienced this spiritual connection with God. And I can't gainsay that experience. I don't know what they have or haven't experienced, whether it's subjective or objective. But is there more in church on Sunday morning than just a spiritual connection with God, a spiritual connection with Jesus Christ? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the sacrament of the altar, a connection that goes far beyond the spiritual. Pastor Wiley Smith will be our guest a little bit later. We're going to be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, and that means your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. That goes to the person with the best vote during Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can call right now, or you can wait, and you can vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Wiley Smith is pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church in Redlands, California. Pastor Smith, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate being with you today.
How do you respond to this? Someone says, look, the most important thing when I go to communion on Sunday is that I have a spiritual connection with Jesus.
Well, you know, we never want to deny that there is indeed a spiritual connection with our Lord, but I would turn them to the fuller picture, a more holistic approach that is based on his incarnation, our physicality as well, so that there is a two-part aspect of our interaction with Christ in the here and now, sort of based on our own corporeal construction, that it was well conceived by our God, that he created us as physical beings, that he redeemed us through physical means, that he addresses our physicality in a sacramental way, that it is truly magnificent. So there is a two-part aspect, and I'd attempt to open their eyes to see the fuller portrait.
So it's not an either-or, either spiritual or physical.
No, here's an illustration. If I'm going to work out in the gym and I only work the right side of my body, I'm going to look pretty funny after a little while. We've all seen those characters on the beach who spend an extraordinary amount of time building up their upper body, but their legs are pencil thin. So if we have that kind of approach to the sacrament of the altar, that it is entirely a spiritual interaction with our crucified and risen King, then we're going to be that funny-looking character on the beach whose legs are just ignored, and we want a beautiful Lutheran body out there on the beach, right?
Oh, so does it start a proper understanding of not only what the Lord's Supper is, but also what it does, how it is Christ does for us in the Lord's Supper? Does it begin with Christ's own incarnation?
Brilliant, Todd, brilliant. So you cannot divide his humanity and his divinity. He is true God and true man in one person. We call this the personal union. And there is a corollary to this, that is the sacramental union. God takes earthly elements, combines them with his word to address our physicality as well as our spirituality. And you can't divide these two things. And Luther lays this out perfectly in the Catechism when he talks about baptism. You know, how can water do such great things? And certainly not just water, but the Word of God, and here are the prepositions, in and with the water, does these things, along with the faith, which trusts this Word of God in the water. So there is a unity, a cohesion, where spiritual realities are encased in physical means, and he addresses us physical creatures who have a spiritual need as well.
Does that mean that, not necessarily, because there can be some inconsistency here in our belief and our faith, our understanding, but does that mean that if someone has a less than scriptural view of the Lord's Supper, say that person who thinks that it's merely a spiritual communion with Jesus, that they might also have an attendant misunderstanding of Christ himself in his incarnation?
Quite so, and a stunted view of Christ and his incarnation is going to show unhappy repercussions downstream. It's the whole difficulty that we see with our Reformed brothers who say the finite is not capable of the infinite. Well, we know that in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwelled bodily, that is, in the fleshly person of Mary's Son. All of God's infinite person is encased there for us, so that at Christmas we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, but with us in this unique, circumscribed person.
Since you have mentioned the prepositions, I want to even tease that apart a little bit further. And this is something I had thought about right around the celebration of Christ's incarnation and birth at Christmas time. It's not simply that Jesus, that the fullness of the Godhood dwells with us through the humanity of Jesus, but it actually dwells with us in the humanity of Jesus. It's not like it's a medium that can be set aside so we can get the raw voltage of divinity apart from the flesh of Christ. What are your thoughts?
Well, what comes to mind is when our Lord healed the 10 lepers, and he told them to go show themselves to the priests, and off they went, cleansed. But there was one who came back. The one who came back realized that the temple, the priesthood, was sort of an empty shell, that the fullness of God's gift to humanity resided there in this man, that is, in the incarnate Christ who was before him. So he chased back, went back to our Lord, threw himself at his feet, and in worship adored him. So that sort of reality needs to break in on the church's mind as well. That through these means, God extends himself to us, and we receive all the benefit of what he has to offer in these things that he himself has instituted for the benefit of us physical creatures.
How much are we influenced to our detriment in kind of an unstated presupposition about the physical and about the spiritual? that may be, you know, leftovers from even ancient times?
Well, I realize that that is a threat to a proper understanding, and that may be a constant. But there does seem to me to be an easy fix, and that is to simply examine our makeup. We are most definitely body. You can't get away from it. God has gifted us with a soul. We're spiritual. But you can't divide these two realities. And the Lord who created us certainly has the ability to address both aspects. So in our very construction, there is the portrait of a spiritual life, not apart from the physicality. But it goes to sin as well. Think about it. We don't sin just in our mind, just in our heart. Our bodies do things that they should not do. And death comes by virtue of this activity, a death that comes to the body. So the threat, which is to body and soul, is also addressed by our Lord as he gives us things, as he gives us forgiveness, life, salvation in body and soul, because his purpose is to cleanse us, renew us, consecrate us, both aspects, ultimately to raise our bodies and draw us into heaven.
We're talking with Pastor Wiley Smith about what the sacrament of the altar is. It kind of raises a question. Paul says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Actually, the Apostle John says that. Paul believes it too. So does that mean the red stuff, the real stuff that came out of his veins, is what actually affects the cleansing of us from our sin? We'll be right back.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois at trinitymillstadt.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the sacrament of the altar. Pastor Wiley Smith is our guest. Pastor Smith, from what you were saying before the break, it sounds like, picking up on what the New Testament says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It sounds like you were saying that it's the actual blood, the physical blood, the red stuff that flowed in and out of his veins.
He addressed our circumstance by physical means. Christ's body means something physically and spiritually. He was nailed to a real tree, like you said. Real blood came pouring out of his holy wounds that paid the price for real sins which were committed in real bodies. There is an astounding of physicality to us that doesn't end with his death and resurrection, but continues as he extends the benefits of that once-for-all work to us in these physical means. Our bodies become holy. Our bodies are consecrated by what he grants us, that is, his blood washing us from sin in holy baptism, his blood restoring us through the sacrament of the altar. So as opposed to it being something that ought to be swept under the rug, as Lutherans, it's something that we celebrate, that we lift up, that we see the beauty of God's activity toward us sinners.
So can you explain the disconnect that so often exists with us, if it is quite clear in Scripture that it is through the physical means, the physical suffering, the physical death of Jesus, that our atonement is affected, that actually does the thing?
Well, we have a high regard for the spiritual, and I'm not attempting to denigrate that at all. There is a danger, an ancient danger, in fact, of dismissing as unimportant the physical. Gnosticism was one that denigrated as inconsequential anything physical. So one of the goofy parts of their teaching was that you could do any degrading thing you wanted to do with your body so long as you thought devout thoughts. So long as you had a pious heart, it didn't matter what you were doing with your body. Well, we know that that is that's a betrayal of God's own word, and Lutherans certainly aren't Gnostics. The idea of celebrating, lifting up the physicality of our person, and how God became man, was like us in every way, yet without sin. And in his marvelous humanity would render up his life, and that we are going to be like him at the resurrection. What was sown perishable is going to be raised imperishable. What was sown in dishonor will be raised in honor, so that our glorious, our bodies will be like his glorious body. Well, you know, that has repercussions in the here and now. It's why we hold to chastity, that we should keep ourselves sexually pure until marriage. It's why we don't harm our neighbor in his body. These things are a beautiful aspect of our life in Christ.
With all of that said, then, let's answer that question. What then is the sacrament of the altar? What is the Lord's Supper?
Yeah, and it can't be said any more straightforward than how Luther has said it, that it is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, a preposition, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink. I mean, those are beautifully physical words, to eat and drink. And that preposition, in a way that we can't understand, his true body, his true blood, under the bread and wine, in, with, and under, so that in a way that goes beyond our ken, God instituted this sacrament so that we might be fed with holy food for our bodies, and through our body, he feeds our soul. It's just astoundingly beautiful.
Someone says, Pastor, if I can't understand it, you know, Luther piles up the prepositions there precisely because he refuses to answer the question, how can this be? In a technical way. But someone says, if I can't understand it, does that mean I can't believe it?
Well, faith enters in, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God. He calls us to faith, to receive this thing that looks so common, so ordinary, in the same way that those who threw themselves at the Master's feet, when Jesus said, what are the people saying about the Son of Man? Who is he? The disciples responded with all the goofy things that the crowds were saying. And then he zeroed in on them, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. So also us who receive his gifts at the altar. Blessed are you as you receive this, recognizing that I am present in this meal. It's not revealed by our natural senses, but by our Father in heaven.
Does that mean, you mentioned before, that it is through his body that we eat with our bodies, that our souls are fed? Does that mean that there's a disconnect in that familiar hymn line that says, often sung in conjunction with the Lord's Supper, Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good? Is there a little disconnect there that needs to be reconnected?
Well, it's a beautiful hymn, first of all, and the hymn writer paints a marvelous portrait, and it indeed refreshes our soul. He feeds our soul, but he does it through our body. And that is that's not something that Lutherans dreamed up, but is beautifully depicted in Holy Scripture, you know, on the night in which our Lord was betrayed. At a Passover meal, he lifted the veil over this that was over the meal and said, you know, this is my body, which is given for you. And in interacting with him this way, we become one flesh with him. Not one spirit, but one flesh, according to St. Paul. So there is that corporeal, fleshly, physical component that goes along with the marvelous spiritual reality, and the two are beautifully wed.
We were talking with Pastor Will Wheaton, I believe, yesterday, and we were talking about a prayer that was said after the sacrament that Luther recommended. It's not in use anymore very much. But I only remember it by way of paraphrase. Luther prays, you know, may this body and blood that we have received clinging to our inward parts. I mean, it really sounds like sticking to your ribs kind of language there. Is that what you're getting at?
I can't think of anything more magnificent that having received Christ's gifts, that food then leads us out into the world, that it sticks to our ribs, that it informs our conduct with our neighbor, that His holiness invades every aspect of my being as a pledge, as a token, as a promise of an ongoing life with Him, one that ultimately will reach fulfillment when we're as He is in His heavenly kingdom. Right. So we traverse this world, feeding on holy food, for our Lord is with us. He promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. And having received his gifts, we have the will, the desire to carry out his will, to show his love, to reflect his character. It's a beautiful sentiment.
You pressed the point earlier in our conversation that at Paul's famous statement that in him the fullness of the deity dwells bodily. Well, if everything that you have said is true, does that mean, can we say or must we say that when we eat and drink his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, that the fullness of deity dwells bodily through him in us?
Perfect. Right. We're given that the imagery of connectedness, bondedness, a marital type of bondedness, Christ and his bride, the church, and the unity that comes through that bond, so that one can't divide the two, as the church is the body of Christ for the world. And it is, indeed, a great mystery, and one we surely take on faith, but one that is attested to with the clearest language in Holy Scripture, something to celebrate that I think our culture, especially as it plumbs the depths of depravity, and so many people are looking for an alternative, that as we hold this up, it is remarkably attractive, because what we have is something that the world cannot offer. There's a beauty and a health that is otherworldly, that people will hearken to this message. They'll feel the true liberation from sin and those dead ends that come from hedonism and self-infatuation. But this is the beautiful alternative that the church holds before the culture as an evangelical call.
Pastor Wiley Smith is our guest. When we come back, one more question for him. He says, God has planned all this. He's planned to feed us with this holy food from before the foundation of the world. And we'll find out what he means right after this. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, the 1st of March. Pastor Wiley Smith is our guest for just a few more minutes. We're talking about the sacrament of the altar, a real physical connection, real physical food for real physical sinners. Pastor Wiley, finally here with a minute or so, you have written, God has seen you in your distress, in your defilement, and in your death. From eternity, he planned to feed you with holy food, to consecrate you, restore you, forgive, and bless you. What do you mean by that?
Well, I go from the standpoint that we were made in God's image. Even as we fell into sin, he had in mind the corrective. The corrective is his beloved Son. He addressed the distress that we were in so thoroughly, magnificently, in the person of his Son, his death, his resurrection, that in a very real sense, God was made man in order to feed us. Yes, he was made man to live that life of righteousness that we couldn't live, to die an atoning death that would save us from sin. But in our distress, he extends himself to us in the here and now to consecrate, to make us holy, to give us those gifts that emanate from his holy cross and his empty tomb. God is at work in the here and now for us, and that is an extraordinary, extraordinary blessing.
Pastor Wiley Smith is pastor of Christ the King in Redlands, California. Pastor Smith, thank you very much for being our guest.
A delight to be with you today, Todd. The Lord bless issues, etc.
Folks, you can find out about a great convocation coming up in April in Inglewood, California. It's called the Catechism Convocation for the People, and the theme this year for the convocation is the Sacrament of the Altar. The keynote speaker at the convocation, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find out more, just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.